What's up tout le monde et bienvenue sur le podcast AKA No Cap.
Votre boy Jason, J7.
Votre boy le
There's a lot of English artists that are making a lot of noise, bro. And the whole hip-hop scene, and that's documented, the whole hip-hop scene in Montreal started in English. You know
what
I mean?
Well, let's be real. The game is English. The real game is English. The real game.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
The biggest industry
the
is
hip-hop
in English.
The hip-hop started in New York, right? And yes. It blew up and it became this massive industry.
Uh-huh.
And it's an English industry.
Yeah.
With English artists. Yeah, there's Jean French, of
yes,
course.
Now there's a
but
lot
let's
of
be
scenes.
Real. The Quebec, what is it? It's Quebec, France, and then some parts of Africa.
Yeah, Belgium.
Yeah, but in my opinion, culture impact is coming from the English
industry. It all comes
industry.
From America. Yeah, I think it exactly. all comes like...
So, like, let's show the world we have that. Let's show our thing that's that. That's how I feel. I don't know.
I agree,
100,
man.
I agree with you.
Yeah, you know? Like,
100%, bro.
Yeah, tight, 100%. Tight.
Why not, bro?
Yeah.
It's and at the end of the day, besides, it's part of our city, bro.
Exactly. We're that.
Ça, c'est Montréal,
we have
bro.
It, too. Hello.
There's people in Montreal exactly. that grew up in English, and their grandparents been in Montreal, and their great-grandparents, and, like, there's English communities.
Yes.
And why not show love to everybody, you know what I mean?
And tell
shout
the
out
stories.
Tout le monde en région qui regarde. Shout out tout le monde qui regarde qui est francophone, you know what I mean? Mais cette semaine, on a un artiste anglophone. And, you know, we're going to do it this way pour cette semaine. J'espère que vous appréciez, you know what I mean?
Let's do it, bro.
Hey,
vous savez
cette
déjà
semaine.
Qu'est-ce qui se passe. Vous savez on est où, man? Yo, c'est le podcast. Des gros guests chaque semaine, week in and week out, bro.
You already know.
Cette semaine, we have an artist.
Tell them.
We have your favorite MC's favorite MC.
Tune in.
That's
we
true.
Have somebody that's got a super versatile flow.
Fact.
Il représente le sud-ouest de Montréal. Il est venu chiller ici avec nous au podcast. I'm talking about the one, the only, Chris the Spirit in the building.
Yeah,
what up?
Oh, it's MTL.
What's going on, my bro?
I should have been here sooner, like I told you.
Shit, but welcome, man.
I'm
saying?
Here now. I'm
okay,
here now.
We're here.
Good. I'm happy, grateful.
Yeah, man. Shit, like, it's true. Long time coming. You're somebody that's been putting in work in the game for years. Even me, I'm getting to know you here today. So you rep Sud-Ouest, Southwest, Pointe Saint-Charles?
Yeah. I grew up in Pointe Saint-Charles.
All your life?
Like a lot, not all my life. Like, I think way early was in the plateau.
Okay.
Before it was the plateau.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to reveal my
No,
age
hey,
like
no,
that.
No, we're just talking.
But yeah, I know.
Like,
oh, so yeah, so plateau. I started in the plateau, and then at some point I went towards downtown, like St. Henry.
Yeah.
Then I just stayed in that area for most of my lesson life and shit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You dropped a project recently. The Kings of Dogtown.
Yeah, the Kings of Dogtown. Yep.
And it had been a while before you dropped a project.
Yeah, it'd been a while.
What was the reason for the... Because we were talking earlier about, like, you know, staying, like, active, especially today in the music music industry. It's very fast food. It's very, you know what I mean? So how do you, from somebody that's been around for a long time, take a long hiatus and come back? How was the reception? Was everybody you're expecting to be there?
When it dropped?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't expecting the people that I had before. I wanted to get a new audience. I wanted to refresh my catalog, get a new audience as well. And the hiatus was really just because, like, you know, you got to get your infrastructure right. Like, you know, shit wasn't, like, I could do songs all day, like, produce the beats. I was trying to, like, produce mainly. So I was just, like, focused on producing the stuff I wanted. Never got to what I wanted to do anyway. Yeah. And I was just thinking, I never, like, did a project that was, like, about my life type shit. It was I never did something like that. And I feel like the city also doesn't have like a Illmatic-esque album. Mm. We just don't have that. And on top of it, there's no one that can even do that, I feel, outside of me or Nate. Possibly
shout out
PK
Nate.
As well. So I feel like I wanted to just do that, at least for the city. That's what inspired me to do the project and also tell my story too.
Well, c'est ça. It feels like a more personal album,
yeah.
I guess, than your previous music.
I was always personal on my music. Every time I'm in front of music, I got to keep it like personal. But I feel like It's different. It's more descriptive. It's like bars-ish. It's like bars, like you could just read it and get the story like direct type shit, you know? So.
But even the way you did the album, there's those snippets, the news snippets throughout the album where it's like this area in Montreal, like whatever, you know.
It's talking about Point St. Charles.
Like, it's okay. It's
talking
about
specifically about Point St. Charles. Like the hood's been fried for decades and century it's been fried. So it just, it's just generational curse. And then the new people who occupy that space now and how it went for me, it's all on the project, you know.
Hmm. And the intro by Action Man.
Action Man, yeah. Yeah.
What's the link between you and him?
He's just a G, bro. He's a G. Like, I passed by his studio one time. One of my friends was recording at his studio. And, I just met him there. He has a crazy voice.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, I got to work with this cat because he has a great voice. I want to do something, you know. And ironically, he's from Point St. Charles, too. He's one of the first artists to ever drop music. And he's from the Point, just like out of irony. So I was like, I have to put this guy on
the
project.
I didn't know he
now.
Was from Point St. Charles. I think
guys got to fucking tap in with these people.
I always knew him
like,
to be from Park X, no?
I don't know where he's from. He's from Montreal. Okay. But I know that he's one of his first music videos that he shot because he was a rapper. He's a rapper.
Yeah, of course.
And it was shot in Point St. Charles. And he told me that like that's where he was stationed at the time. So it's like, I have to put him on this project.
Dope. And there's a, it's like in the intro, he's doing like the kind of like the mathematics, the 5%er talk.
Yeah. I just told him to do his thing. Like, do your thing, bro. Like,
okay.
I just need this energy. Like, we're trying to build our Illmatic, you know? Like, even if it's not that, that's what we're aspiring to do. Even on the next one or whatever I'm going to do next. But like, we need this energy, bro, for certain.
Okay,
for certain, we needed that energy for the project.
Because when I heard that,
sets the tone.
And I know you, I think you spent time in New York.
Yeah,
so
I
thought maybe you were like a 5%er or something like that.
I'm not an actual 5%er.
Okay,
I know a little bit about them.
Yeah, you let him do his thing on the intro.
I just let him do his thing. Like, I wanted him to say his piece and his comments because I let him hear the album before and then let him just say what he has to say, you know?
Dope.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. And like, when you say Illmatic, you want it to be like Illmatic. Is that to you kind of like the ultimate
it's
rap
a staple,
album kind
right?
of thing?
Illmatic's a staple, for New York hip hop rap music. It's like an iconic staple.
Yeah.
In Montreal, we don't have that on the English side that much outside of the existence of Bad News Brown.
Mm.
I'm not really familiar with his whole album, you know, but yeah.
But you know about Bad News.
It was almost like paying homage even to Illmatic, but it was also like, shit, we need where's our Illmatic? Are we ever going to get one? Let me try. Let me do it. Let me see what I can do. And that's it.
I bumped the Born to Sin album of Bad News Brown.
Yeah,
Born
classic.
To Sin. He's proud about that. He smiled when he said that.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, that was a
Bad
was
News
a
legend,
I gotta
man.
Retap
rest
in.
Peace,
I gotta
my
retap
brother
in
Bad
that.
News, man.
The whole era.
Of course.
The whole era. Yeah.
Of course, man. Recently you dropped I think your latest drop is a collab with Eva Shaw.
Yeah.
What's it called?
No, my latest drop. My latest drop is not. That's not my latest drop.
That's not the latest one?
I dropped something else, but it was like a kind of like a leak type vibe. Like I sent it off to a label. They paid me just to drop the specific song. And I was like, yeah, drop it. You know, that's my latest. But Line Them Up was, I collabed with Eva Shaw.
But that's interesting. The label, that's a label from where? Like just
the UK.
Okay, because that's from, so you still have, because I know you guys toured out there back in the days and stuff like that, right? So this is all from,
I don't know if it's
work.
From that. Like I dropped the Kings. I dropped Kings of Dogtown, and there was a track on it called From The.
Yeah.
It's called From The.
Uh-huh.
And someone had emailed me, a label from the UK had emailed me about that specific song, and they're like, we want this song. Can you just give us this song? We'll just pay you to have one song like that, and we'll drop it and see what happens.
That's dope.
Yeah, I was like, sure.
Go ahead.
Here's
see
one.
What happens.
Here's one that I have, and
Okay, so that drop, and then there's the Eva Shaw
collab.
The Eva
Shaw collab, that was,
And Eva Shaw, okay, because I don't know her per se. I've seen her name on songs with Nate Husser.
Yeah.
So that's how I knew she was an artist.
Producer.
I think she's from Toronto, right?
She's from Toronto, yeah.
She's a producer?
She's a producer. And artist, and EDM DJ. And
okay. Yeah. So I know, so did you connect with her through Nate kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay, that's
my plug. Anytime, because Nate knows I'm not out there chasing after the whatever the fuck it is. And so he knows that. And he's just like, yo, you got to link up with Chris, Chris.
Okay, he's
like, always going to plug me, like, for sure. Like,
okay, that's dope. Yeah. That's dope.
Yeah.
So, and I think, but the project came out on Eva Shaw's label, right? Is it possible? Or Fatty?
Yeah, it came out, Mad Fatty.
Mad Fatty.
I have a partnership with Mad Fatty. It's basically Eva Shaw and Wouter Jensen. He's an EDM. He's more in the EDM world, but they wanted to step into the hip-hop realm and produce hip-hop records. And they were looking for rap artists at the time. And what they presented me worked for what I was looking for at the time. So it's like, I respect what...
Why not?
I respect that. I wanted to secure something for my music if I did want to continue doing my shit. At least there's a operation that can, you know what I mean?
And it's interesting because this album, I've heard you say, it's like... It's kind of like your real first album. I don't know. Like,
it feels like my real first. It's like the album I always really wanted to do. Yeah. I just never did it because I was always like, just chasing other shit all the time.
And yeah.
So yeah, this is like, for me, it's like my first real album, like my first real thing.
And Vince produced it mostly, right?
Yeah, Vince produced 90%.
I know Shab's got a track on there too.
Yeah. That track, actually, I did that for Shab.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I feel like he never dropped it, and it just fit right in my project perfect.
Oh, okay, so you added it. But besides that, it was all Vince, right?
All Vince.
And
all
how
Vince
did you...
and the last, like, the deluxe tracks are me and my dude, Rob Mill.
Yeah, those are the more experimental, I'd say.
Yeah, me and Rob.
Yeah, we're going to get into that, because I like those. I won't lie. I like the up-tempo ones, man. Yeah, there's a couple of them. There's one you dropped. Okay, this is not even on the project. No Interviews?
Mm-hmm.
I love
that's
that
the last drop I dropped. That's the last one for the thing that I did for the label. That was that track.
I love that joint.
Yeah, I love that one.
I love the instrumental. I love the different vibes.
It's like we were just like producing. We're like, let's do trap. Let's do drum and bass. Okay, now let's do fucking Atlanta fucking thing, whatever.
Okay,
Young Jeezy. Let's put everything. We just left it as it was and just like.
And how did you connect with Vince?
Vince, me and Vince been connected, bro. Me and Vince. Vince is a real hip hop guy, bro. Like
Vince,
he's a real student of the game.
Did hobbies and everybody, right?
He's a student of the game. Like when I first was touring with Nate or whatever, like he was there on that same tour,
like with his group.
Yeah,
with Dead Hobbies.
Yeah.
Okay.
So me and Vince been trying to do something. We just never got around to doing it.
Okay, so you toured with them back in the days.
Yeah, we toured back in the day.
That's pretty dope. Yeah. So there is a connection. Like there's always going to be a Montreal French English artist connection, even
for
if it's not a collaboration,
for sure,
right?
For sure.
Okay, so you decide to do the project with Vince, the whole thing, man.
Yeah, pretty much the entire thing.
Pushed you to do it with him?
Well, he's really talented. He's a very capable producer. Like I could say, I want to do like this shit. He'll create it. And he'll be like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, he's a solid producer. He's somebody I feel like we don't mention him enough.
That's what I'm saying. Disrespectful, heinous. Like, this is just horrible, bro. We have this guy in our place, and we're just like, Vince, cool.
But he's legendary. I would love to have him on
but
the show.
But he's not that type of cat, probably, you know?
A lot
he's busy,
of producers
bro.
Are, but a lot of producers, too, they're kind of more low-key. And I'm not mad at that, you know?
I'm not mad at that
It's dope. It's dope that
I'm kind of low-key. I don't really like sitting and talking to people about, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, the track is there. The song is there. No, fuck off. Like, I don't have nothing to tell you. I'm busy. I have my life. I'm fucking, you know what I mean, bro?
Yeah, so. But Chris, I want an autograph. What happens?
If it's a titty, I'll sign the titty. But other than that, bro, come on.
But
autograph. You know what I mean, bro? Like, come on.
I love it. Okay.
When you dropped, like, the album, I remember you wrote to me and I knew who you were.
Yeah.
And the approach that you had was really professional, and I understand that the way you were talking is like, yo, you better know who I am. I'm coming to do this and this. So, of course, I paid attention to it. And what was your strategy? It's your first project in 6 years. So I'm pretty sure you had a little strategy about making talk king of you. Sorry for my English.
Kings of Dogtown.
No. People talk about
you. Okay, you went to media.
So you wrote to me. So what was your strategy about releasing your project and make it known to the
like
city?
Like the rollout.
What was the rollout? I wanted to just, honestly, every time I do a project, like, I'm just like, this song is the rollout. This is the rollout. The fucking, this dope ass fucking track is the rollout. I know it sounds fucked up in this day and age. I didn't really have a plan for the rollout, but I wanted to do visuals that like at least match the aesthetic of the project and what I wanted to do.
When I hear what you're saying, I see it like as true artist shit. Like you, like,
yeah.
I don't want to focus on the business too much. I just want to let the art speak for itself.
Because if I start looking at the rollout and this and that before the project is done. So I started to look at it almost like I was too busy, bro. That project was actually hectic to make. Even if you ever talked to Vince, it was like during the final stages of the album, it was weird. Like, because we get budgets for these type of things.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, there's a deadline or the budget just gets retracted. So now we're like, oh fuck, we didn't know the day. Now we gotta da da da. So
okay, I get what you're saying. Even but when you look at the project, you're still
happy with the project. Yeah. But we did have to do like a change of the masters because like we had to like rush the master and it wasn't big enough, so we had to change it after it was re-uploaded after, you know? Okay. Stuff like that, bro. Yeah, you know, but so the rollout shit is not in my mind type shit. You know, it's not in my head.
Dealing with all that.
And then when the project is ready to come out, it's like, okay, let me see. All those MTLs killing the shit. Like, you guys are constant with it. So it's like, we should tap in. We should work.
Yeah.
And whoever's dope should work. That's the problem. Like, if you're a great producer, let's
100%.
Let's work. Let's not.
But you did the Ons freestyle, right?
Yeah. Of course, man. One shot.
Exactly.
Yeah, one shot.
Oh, yeah, it was a one taker?
It was a one shotter. I respect it. Yeah. I'm going to do another one for you guys. Fuck. Why not? So,
maybe we'll do something in the Patreon, man.
No, man, I got 50, ideas.
I need 50%. No, wait. Three of us, 30%.
Let's work.
Yeah,
anything, let's run course, it. Man.
Okay.
And I appreciate it the way you
arrived. Freestyle was crazy. Sorry to cut you off. That freestyle was crazy, bro. Federal Star was emailing me.
For real?
Yeah.
Federal Star?
Yeah, he liked this.
Federal Star,
what's
bro.
The Federal Star connection?
He started to link up. He started to like tap in, and there's even a dude I feel like in Montreal who like manages his stuff in Canada.
Perry
lined it
shout
up.
Shout out my boy
Perry. Yeah, Perry is a G, bro. Like, let's not even put his name. Maybe you don't like
it's my
that.
Dog, man.
Perry's
come on,
a G,
my dog.
Bro.
I go way back with that.
Okay,
with that
word,
man.
Word.
Shout out Good Friday.
Park X.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So yeah, Perry linked it up as well, but. He was showing love, Federal Star from.
That's fire, man.
And then it just.
Federal Star is a dope. Yo, he's got an album that he dropped back in the days. Fire Star, that's a dope ass album.
I'm gonna do a project with him. I'm gonna do like a little small EP package.
Okay,
with Federal. Yeah.
Okay, shit, that's dope, man.
Yeah, and just off these things, off like doing shit, little freestyle
bro.
And
wow.
stuff
so
like
fire.
That, bro.
Yeah,
know?
Bro, you gotta tell us this. We appreciate to hear that.
No,
bro.
that's what
I've
it
seen.
Does.
I've seen the like the share or the thing on the Instagram.
Yeah,
and I screenshot it. I was proud too,
for us.
For sure, bro. So it's cool to see
yo,
it's
bro,
going that far.
A win for artists.
A win
in the
is
city.
A win.
It's
bro.
A win for
us.
Us.
That's
too,
what I'm
you know
saying,
bro.
Saying?
That's
I
the
know,
way we see
not
it.
Not saying like you know he's like the biggest fucking,
doesn't
but
matter.
It's still, bro. That's fire, bro.
Come
like,
on, man. That's
off
Onyx,
a freestyle, bro. Off
yeah, of course,
it's legendary.
Man.
Exactly.
So
that's fire.
That's
okay,
it,
man.
More of this. I hope in the future.
Exactly. Exactly.
So okay. So now we're talking about the music, everything you're doing now. But like, for people who don't know, and even including me, I want to know. The story, the Chris the Spirit story, because now we know Point St. Charles, Jamaican background?
Jamaican, yeah.
100%? What's the...
Do I look 100% Jamaican?
No, that's why I wasn't sure.
Peruvian is my, yeah. Okay. But I wanted to keep that sort of off the thing, you know? But yeah, my father's Peruvian. And
okay.
My mom's from Jamaica.
And did you grow up like more, like in Jamaican. Which culture? Jamaican 100% culture?
100% in Jamaican culture.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and like, was there a lot of music around in the family? Was it like something that you were
of
always
course, bro.
Into since you were
of
a kid?
Of course, my mom was a young mom type, you know?
Okay.
And so, you know, she had all the tracks, Biggie, Lauryn Hill, Pac, fucking
okay.
Backstreet Boy, Mariah Carey,
okay.
ODB, all the shit.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
the
yeah.
shit, bro, like, you know, so.
And did you have like any MCs around like growing
my
up?
Cousins, bro.
Who's
my
your cousin?
Cousins, my cousins, don't, I'm not going to reveal
oh,
the
okay.
cousins, bro. The cousins
okay.
are.
Well, like, were they like putting out music and stuff like that
they
in the city?
They weren't putting out music, but they were rapping.
Okay.
You know, they were the fans that had the Biggie poster, the Eminems, the fucking all that. I was exposed very young because they would be ciphering in the bedroom
fire.
When I was a young kid.
Okay.
And I'll just come in like, oh shit, this is fucked up, bro. This is crazy, you know? So I always wanted to jump in it because of them.
Yeah. Okay. And what time, at what age did you like actually start writing or rapping or doing your thing?
11 or 12. Trying to rap. That's young. At 11 and 12.
Damn.
It became my form of expression very early. I would have books and books in my house. Like,
really?
Yeah.
You still have those stashed?
No.
Damn.
What were you listening to at this time?
So, yeah, if I was in it at that age, everything, bro. Like, fuck, man. When I was in the point, I was listening to literally everything.
But what's
all Lil Wayne droughts, all of the Lil Wayne mixtapes,
yeah.
All the Kanye, all the Eminem, all the Game, all the 50 Cent, all yeah. the Lloyd Banks, all the Papoose, AZ, yeah. Nas, Jay-Z, fucking every single rapper.
But there's not one album like you said, yo, this
I didn't have albums. I had the LimeWire burnt CD
mixtape,
with every
mixtape
single
shit.
Track
okay,
that
go.
Is ever, that is out. That's what I had.
So when
you feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
That's dope. But when you're starting to rap and shit like that, like getting in, I guess, cyphers with your cousins and stuff like that, is it an automatic like, okay, this is my thing. I'm doing this.
I loved it right away. I feel like I was so ill when I first started, and then like when I got like, so I started at like 11, I was super ill.
Yeah.
And then like 17, 18, 19, when life gets real, I started to just it just withered away. It was just gone.
What do you mean?
I don't know. It was just gone. Like even during the time of like me and Nate doing our thing, like I couldn't write a bar. Like I couldn't even.
Okay,
yeah.
Hold on. No. Okay, hold on. So now you're doing your thing. You're becoming the MC that you become, and Nate, you linked up with Nate early.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
were young,
early, like 18 type shit, like.
So that's when you guys start doing music and stuff like that and start the posters, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that, like, look, and I'll be honest, me, I've seen, I heard the name, but I wasn't that much tapped in, right? Mm-hmm. And when I'm looking at the history and I'm like, okay, whoa, international tours, international record deals and stuff like that, I was like, damn, I was sleeping on it, you know? And like, tell me, like, how it started. Like, was it right from the jump when you guys started that you guys started seeing some traction or
right away, like almost right away, like almost we dropped a few little like freestyles on YouTube and stuff, and it would like I think we attracted a group of like DJs to like manage us, and then they were trying to put us on, they tried to put us on, you know, giving us connections here and there. And then, but nothing really significant popped off like until we really dropped our EP.
Okay.
Because like we had this EP sitting, we were shopping the demo, our EP for like fucking years.
What's
like,
the name of the EP for people who even want to check it out? You remember?
Starships and Dark Tints. No, there was another one before that.
Okay.
This one, we deleted it off the internet. Like, oh, shit. It's trash. But like, yeah, so we were shopping that shit around and nothing came out. And then, yeah, then we dropped Starships and Dark Tints. And immediately after, it was just like the emails flooded with like record deal offer, 100,000, doing tour all around Quebec, New York, Boston, Paris, wow. Switzerland, New York, just like.
And are you guys like pure independent
100%
artists?
Independent artists. We did like we did go around, take bread from labels like, hey, we'll give you this 3-song, give us like 50 bands or whatever the fucking case may be. And so yeah, we did shit like that.
Yeah, but even those little you see, you're talking
that was
about
fire,
that,
like, bro.
All those little things. Those
no,
are
no, that's
cool
fire.
Things,
that's fire that we were able to do that. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But
yeah.
What was your first interaction with him?
So I started really young rapping. I never took it serious as like a career. Even now, I kind of cringe at it as a career. I don't know what it is. It's just something. I don't know. It's my personal thing that I have. Like, I don't know. It's weird, bro. Like, whatever. So then, yeah, so I was like, fuck, man, am I going to do this rap stuff? Am I going to be able to get in the studio and record? I was like, let me go tap in with my dude, like this dude I knew in Berks. He was like, yo, there's a studio over here.
Yeah.
Come record here. It's free. I was like, oh, I'll reach. Started to go there, start dropping freestyles at the studio. And, you know, when you do this and when you're freestyling in real life, it's a different game from when you're in front of a mic and on a mic and recording.
Yeah.
So when you're first starting, you see that it's not the same. So then I'm just going over there practicing. And I think Nate had a little group because Nate's a hustler, bro. He always has like the group. he has his shit in order when it comes to music and networking and all that.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I got this group, the Poster Boys or some shit.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, fire. He's like, you want to join the group? And I was like, fuck, I thought I was in the group already. so like, you know, I thought I was already in that as soon as I reached over there. So yeah, that was it. Then we started to do songs.
So in the beginning, it was the Poster Boys and became the Posters. Yeah, it
became the Posters. We had sloshed off like a few dudes off the project. Okay. Like the ones who are serious is like Nate, me. And then who's the serious producer? Joey. He's like the...
So that was the...
Whoever's group. Serious, we're going to keep you. Yeah. Whoever's just like fucking... Like we're actually trying to do this project. We're going to try to take this serious. We're going to try to record real songs and see what happens for the first time. So like, yeah.
But where's the first time you guys met? It was on in the outside. You were at school
in the studio in Little Burgundy, studio in Little Burgundy. That's where we met.
Oh, okay. So, but when he told you come to the studio, you guys didn't like.
No, we had met at that studio when I was recording.
Who had the studio
separately, and I was just bumping into him all the time because he was also at that studio trying to record and do his thing there too. So,
what's the studio?
Youth in Motion. It was like a project for like kids in the hood, and you can go record your rap songs and shit.
That's
and
it, man.
Very essential for these places.
That's dope, man. Yeah, that's dope, man. Shout out, man. Shout out to everybody out there doing that, man. Shout out Filigran qui fait la même chose.
And how was the reception? Like you said, when you started, it was with your cousins.
Yeah, that was like what as like a 10-year-old type shit, an 11-year-old. Yeah,
but if I think they are the first one, you have to have like the approval.
Yeah.
So what was the reaction?
Yeah, did they give it the
stamp?
Well,
I was nice
beginning?
At that time, though. So it was like, you have to fuck with me when I was a kid. Like, you know, I was nice, you know. So they gave me approval right away. They were shocked, actually. They were like, oh, fuck, this guy's fucked up. Like, this little guy, he's rapping some bars. Like, it's fucked up. Yeah.
That's fire.
Right,
man.
Off the top, yeah.
So man, that's okay. So, like, when you see when I say, like, oh, man, that Poster's... I kind of missed it a little bit, you know what I mean? But it's kind of because it didn't last. How long did it last?
I don't know. It was like a blast, and then it just like collapsed, and it was just like flatline.
But
know?
that's like, you see when we're saying every win is a win for us too, and that when you tell me that is like, it's breaking my heart. And it's like, if you guys were on such a, how can I say, like a positive run kind of thing, what made it stop? Like, what made you
many
guys...
things, like, there's so many factors, bro. Like, I'm not gonna list all the, but it's like, you could just imagine, it's three dudes and for the first time, right? Like, this never happened to nobody in the group. This never even
everything
not even
was
sure
cool.
At the time it happened in the city with anyone either. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, it's new grounds, new territory, and it's just like, shit happens,
bro. Is it like it became business too fast kind of thing?
Business, like, not right away, but business got into it. Egos, regular shit, bro. You can Google this shit and you'll probably see this
shit.
Nah,
it's crazy. It's too bad. I mean, it's just, I'm like, damn, as an outsider, you know, I'm like, wow.
For a while, I thought it was tragic, too. I was just like, after the Posters, I was done with, like, trying to rap and shit. I was like, fuck that.
This for real?
Corny, yeah. Even the record deal and the interest, I was like, fuck off. Like, this is corny as fuck.
But why do you see that as corny? Like, because people see you as a dope, like, lyricist. People see you as a dope artist.
The industry of it is corny as fuck. You got, everyone knows this.
Okay, the industry.
Everybody knows this.
The industry part. Okay,
and then even how it
saying.
Affects relationships, how it affects things. It's just like, ew, this shit is fucking corny. Also, even, yeah, personal things too. Personal things too. It's like, fuck, do I got time to be fucking running around right now? Like, my whole life's in shambles. I'm on a tour. Like, this. It shit gets hectic, you know. Yeah. So
it's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy to keep it going. And
yeah, I get it. I get it.
Managers and such, and yeah, you know, it's tough, bro. It's tough.
Gotta have the right people.
We
man.
See it, man. We live it a little bit too.
You guys have crazy managers too, right?
Well, I mean, not the same thing. But you know, we see the industry. We see how it is.
Yeah,
and
we're
it's,
near
it's,
the
it's,
artist. The
it's
the
a
people.
Game, you know what I mean? And even me, I was telling you before, like as an artist, as a youngin back in the days, that's what kind of turned me off from doing music. You know, like I'd rather do it and have fun with it.
It
once
kills
in a
your
while,
soul. It kills your like
than to always think
yeah.
of. What is it gonna do? Who's gonna like it? Who's not gonna like it? It's like you. Then you start doing it a little bit for some artists, you know, not everybody.
Yeah.
But me personally, it started too much being in my mind when I was doing music. I was like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it is a challenge.
Stressed me out. Yeah.
It's a challenge, bro, for artists, man.
It is a challenge, it is, it is.
In 2018, you released two projects with, I think, Make It Rain.
Yeah, Make It Rain. I did a couple of demos. That was like my first time coming back to music. Like I
had after the posters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how did you connect with them? Because that's Shab, I think, was signed with them too at that time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it was Vince, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, because...
I'm almost 100%. I don't know if it's entirely Vince, but I'm pretty sure he had some like, motion in that.
Yeah. Okay, and you dropped two projects with them?
Yeah, so I just got back in the thing. I had two demos already lined up. I'm like, I just want some bread to do music videos. So here, you take that, give me the bread. Is that's how I do shit. Is like, I want to try to do music videos right now. Like, my brain is like, I want to do a music video. And then I'll just, whatever the fucking song, I don't care the song. Let me do the video. That's how I am.
So you would go and present them the project, and they give you bread, and then you could do videos to that project.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't even care about, like, I think the first video that came out, the first video was like Boys Crazy or some shit. I just wanted to do this video. Like, visually, I wanted to see it. Like, I just wanted to see if I can make that, do that.
Okay.
So then I did that, and then they're like, what's the song? I'm like, it's this song, some track. That track never came out. And then I had just copy and pasted a new track over the video that we shot.
Come on.
And I was like, that's
seriously?
It. I swear to God, yeah, that's how I operate, like, creatively.
Very on the fly.
Yeah, I would say. Well, it's not really on the fly, because it's like, I do want to make a music video, so that's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the time.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm not like that right now.
It's a big goal to say, I just want to do a video.
Yeah, I'm just like, I wonder if I could do a video like this. Like, can I do it? Can I actually reach out to the right people and do this type of video? Let me see. Oh, fuck. Okay, it's 3,000 for that. Okay. That's too much for a video. But like, at the time, it was like, I'm like, fuck, let's get in this. Let's get an offer. I'm going to put this on SoundCloud tomorrow. And then it's like, wait, let me chill. Okay, we got a record deal like right after. So we're like, hey, let's try to do this. Let's fucking
So if I ask Chris the Spirit, what is your, how can I say, like, ultimate goal in the music industry, if there is one?
Just making the wickedest project I can make. And it sounds corny, but like, I just want to make the wickedest project that I want to make as a fan, so that I could play it all the time as a fan. Like, that's fire. That's my only true goal.
So you don't because if I ask some young rapper or whatever in the city and I ask them that, they might say like, I want to blow up, I want to tour there, I want to do this. And you just spoke to me about music strictly.
Yeah, because if you do that, you'll most likely get to the other shit quicker than if you're focusing on the, I want to blow up. Because if you really just want to blow up, you're going to be posting every hour, you look like a goof to us. And you just look dumb as fuck promoting your shitty song 500 times. And it's like, I have a million. Well, of course, you spammed it like fucking every day. You know, of course you got the million. But it's like, I feel like you focus on the music first. And then you're going to, those things will come naturally, right?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
But
I feel like, let me get to my true goal. And then maybe then.
No, but it's interesting because you've still accomplished and done things with your music, like generated bread from here or from there or whatever it is that you do.
Constantly.
You know what I mean? And it's like, you're doing it smooth while doing your own thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what I think is important for artists to do. And a lot of artists that have success, I'm thinking of Roe J, like they're doing their own thing. They're in their own lane and it works naturally, it works. Kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, you talked about Vince, but I really don't want to know, what was the first time Vince wanted to work with you? Where did he hear about you?
I don't know that. Okay. Vince knows that, but I remember meeting him in Paris, or no, France somewhere. We're in France somewhere, and I met him. I wasn't really sociable at the time, zero. I'm not sociable now, but at the time, absolutely zero. Okay. And I didn't really talk to him, you know? But I think he conveyed to my manager at the time that he wants to work and he wants to do something. That was like such a long time ago.
So you were in France. Why were you in France? And you don't speak a word of
touring, touring, doing it for music.
Okay.
And the croissant. Yeah, music, bro. Like, why the fuck else am I in France, bro?
No, man. I don't know, man. It's you know? Cool.
But that was when you guys were touring with
them.
When
we were touring. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I want to know. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, nice. Okay. Yeah, of course.
Shit.
That was my...
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, I was just there with music, bro. Music.
And where were the other places that you went on touring that stayed on your mind?
Fucking Switzerland, New York, Boston, everywhere stayed on my mind. Even Quebec, even those little towns in Quebec stayed on my mind.
And when you were doing all those tourings, you were witnessing the industry here. And was it real quick that you understood that there's maybe nothing to do in Quebec? As an English artist, and you tried to see...
I did. I always did, but I never cared. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, it's like, this is my city, too. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't care about your fucking, your whatever you're doing. Like, I know, like, maybe career-wise, I never even looked at here as a place to for anything.
Really?
For nothing.
But you don't... So, like, example, in the English scene now, do you follow a little bit, like,
no,
the rappers
no,
in the
it's
city?
Different. Yeah, of course. Shabo, I love Shabo, yeah. What he's doing. I follow some of the artists, like the
you have really a collab. You have a dope collab with Nate and Mags.
Yeah,
and Lolly D.
Lolly D.
She's dope too.
She's fire. Her pen is very, very.
So how did that collab come about with Magnum? And
I've been trying to work with Magnum. I just never had any like good enough music to present to him. Like, hey, I want to do this track with you.
So you've been seeing Mags from back in the days, right?
Way back in the day. I remember going to a studio called Red Rhino Studio.
Of course, yeah. Right in front of the Bell Center.
And I met. That's where I first met Mags. But he was always a legend. Like his bars, he was always known for spitting bars. We're like, this guy's fire.
Yo, from back in the days till now, bro.
Till
this
now,
day.
Like that's what I love, bro. Like,
okay, that's fucking, dope.
There's not many, bro. He's valid, bro, as a rapper, bro. He's like, he's
absolutely
crazy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
There was the GT studio too, man. There was a...
GT?
There was a, the building behind the Bell Center,
yeah,
I remember.
There was a few studios.
Yeah. That's the building. That's that building, bro. Yeah.
Classic times.
Classic building.
Yo, I remember...
Legendary.
I met Lafouin.
What?
With Bad News Brown and Roy Enoch.
Oh, shit.
And that was... And I saw Cena for the first time. Big shout out to my brother Cena.
Big shout out to Cena.
Shout out to Cena.
And yeah. And for me, I'm from the East. So I always knew there was a scene in the West, Southwest. But due to the English and French, it was always like in the shadow. Distance. Like distance, you
no,
know?
But you see. But
and,
this is...
and again, the receptions of this... kinds of the city, this part of the city.
It's like Mufasa when he's like, Simba, that's the part, you know, the shadow part.
Yeah. Like,
you don't go over there.
Sans pression causée de territoire hostile.
Yeah, exactly.
That's territoire hostile.
That's what it was.
But
too.
You see, this is the beauty to me. This is so the richest thing we have in Montreal.
Yeah, exactly.
We have you and we have you, and you guys both grew up in different parts of the city, speaking different languages, but in the same.
Yeah.
Game, same culture, exactly. Same, you know what I mean? We all connect on this one thing, you know what I'm saying? And even though the language is not the same and it's unique, that doesn't happen in a lot of cities, you know
it's
what
true,
I mean?
It's true, it's true.
So I think it's dope. But like,
here it's just like, it's blatant, it's like language.
It's very split. Yeah. It's very split. Yeah. But you know, me, I feel like, I like when English and French artists collab. Some artists like it, some less. I mean, I think it's dope. I think it's something that we have in the city that we don't have anywhere else. So why
not?
That's
true.
You know what I mean?
Because it feels like a useless endeavor. Like, why are we doing this? But it's actually fire. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not saying do everything.
No, but,
like that, but
from
cool.
For an English artist, it looks like, why would I do this? Like, they're not going to understand me, literally. So why would I do, you know?
Well, bro, a lot of people that listen to French rap grew up on American rap.
I know. Too, that's the funniest part. But so, it's just like, you know... That's I'm just saying that's our English approach. That's how we look at it right off the bat. That's why we're like, why would I, for what?
But you see,
but then it's like now I want to work with the French artists. I want to see what's up. Like I want to.
Why not, bro?
I want to test my ability on with every artist. You know,
that's like, it.
Yeah,
that's what it's about, man.
Why not?
And you spoke about Mags like with high regard, kind of like, yo, I wanted to make sure I can present something dope to him. Who like there must be other names in the city that like. Growing up or even today that like you mentioned Shab, is there other MCs that you regard like that?
Well, that's like, come on,
Nate,
not
I guess
much.
Nate,
like there's Borden obviously,
yeah,
you know,
big
Borden.
Shout out Borden,
Big B, he's crazy. Borden, Mags, let me see, So because I've worked with a lot of the dope guys already that I think are dope. I already worked with them. I have songs with. If I thought you were dope in Montreal, I worked with you, or you know that I'm trying to work with you.
Okay, though.
Yeah.
You see the Mags and Borden and all them. They got the Big Dogs Only movement and stuff. So there's, I feel like there's.
I love that movement.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's fire, and I think there's something going on in Montreal that we gotta all tap into more. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Okay, man. I like it, man. I
love
man.
That. I love that.
Yo, if you could do a collab tomorrow with any artist in the U.S., who would it be?
In the U.S.?
Yeah.
Fuck. Damn. Because they have the top, right? Damn, that's crazy.
Or anywhere in the world.
Yeah,
or
Alchemist. Anywhere. Alchemist, bro. Ooh.
Alchemist.
Yeah, because I feel like, bro, I could give them a wicked project, bro. All those guys, like Static Selecta, Alchemist,
yeah,
fucking, there's more.
You know where I'm going to go after you say that.
Ninth Wonder. Fuck,
we got one here. Close.
Craven.
Craven.
Craven just sent me a beat. I've been trying to work with Craven, bro. Let's Craven go. Knows I've been... He sent me a pack like a while ago, and I just never got around to doing the tracks because I was like trying to produce. I was trying to learn how to produce and shit.
Okay.
And I failed. Epic fail. Some For of real? The tracks came out. No, but some of the... I touch up on all the tracks I dropped. But so I just wasn't able to get around to his music, like to really tap in. And well, he blew up sort of. Like he kind of has a bigger name than at that mm-hmm. time. But I've been trying to work with Craven, and he recently sent me a pack.
I think it would make
sense. He recently sent me a pack. Yeah.
I'd like to see that, man. I think it would make sense, man, because he's doing a lot of things. He's tapped in with a lot of American artists. So like I think it can help.
It works. It works. I feel like every producer that I want to work with, I just want to like give them the best project I could give them, and for them to be like, oh fuck, okay, this nigga's fucked up.
That's, I feel it.
Yeah.
And we mentioned Lali D before. Is she from here? She's from Montreal?
She's from here.
I hadn't heard from her, to be honest with you, before I listened to the
she
project.
She just is the debut on this on this project. Yeah. She's
angelic voice.
Angelic. She's working her craft. She's working her sound that she wants to drop, and she could potentially drop some music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's the beat of Fear God is Crazy, produced by my Chab. You seem to like to shot in churches. And
shot in churches.
Careful.
No, sorry, guys.
Shoot in churches. No, video, put money, film.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
How many videos do I have in the church? One?
You did Undefeated.
Undefeated in the church, yeah.
Yeah, and you had another one. Yeah, and... I think the one which the Shab you did.
Fear God? That's not in a church. That's in a museum. Well, there's some religious imagery in there.
Okay.
Yeah. That's hilarious, though. But churches are beautiful, bro. Like, I do want to be in the church. That's the aesthetic, bro. I've been, the music calls for it, bro. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. But your track Undefeated is one of the most streamed.
Yeah, true.
And you shot it in the video in the church, and you seem to be critical about religion. I don't know, because the way you brought it in this, at the end of the video, you put like a skit, and you talk about slavery. You talk about land.
Yeah,
you say like no lands were given to the slaves,
to black people
in
America.
In America, and now I see you in the in a church, and I was just wondering, was it a way to say, yo, we gave like the Bible, the religion, to the black people instead of giving them like a land?
You're on to something, bro. Because every time I do something, there's fucking mad layers to this shit I'm trying to do. Like, I'm just like, no one's going to understand this shit. You're on point a little bit. It was basically that. No, he is. He's on point. That track is crazy, by the way. Like, a freestyle I did at like 3 in the morning. I just fucking flamed it. And then, sort of, bro. There's a little bit of a political thing in almost all of my music. Like, a little undertone there.
Of course.
Yeah, I don't want to just blat out the message I'm trying to give, but there is a message.
Yeah, of course. And that's why people appreciate your music. I mean, if there was no layers in this shit,
you then know, what out, yeah, empty, yeah.
It will be empty, and I think that's why we like to discover your writing, and that I think that's why you put the lyrics in the videos.
That's fire, though. I'm happy he said that he got the thing, which is so fucked up because I'm an artist, I'm an English Montreal artist,
yeah,
and I'm just like, no one's gonna get this because of where I'm at. But in the States, it's like, this nigga's going to for sure understand. I don't know. It's just like that. I don't get
why you think like that. I don't know.
You're a writer, bro.
It's because like for years, it's like these guys cannot relate to what I'm saying. They don't understand what I'm even literally saying. So it's like, you feel like that over time.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, especially when you have layers to what you're saying. Like, yeah, there's depth to your lyrics, right? I get that they might not get everything. But with the imagery, you see, like in the example, he was watching the video. So with the imagery and this and the skit, he put it together. You know what I mean? So, and I think a lot of people would.
I know. You know what I mean? Like, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel like no one's gonna get it.
100%. It's difficult, bro. Yeah, it's difficult.
It's a perception. It's just like your perception, like.
And especially because you're doing it, and you're doing what you're doing by kind of exporting your music, right? Because like,
exactly,
you don't pay too much attention to the Montreal market. You're more pushing it to this guy in the UK or this guy here and there. So like, it's interesting. It's like a different perspective of artists in Montreal, right? Because we see so many of them pushing here and trying to get on the media here, and you're like doing the opposite. You're here, but you're trying to.
Well, that's just like logic, right? They say like, if your market is not here, go to where the market is.
But you're exactly. So do you?
So people go like Nate. He traveled to the States several times. He spent a lot of time in LA. Spent a lot of time in Texas.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
Truth is there too. I think in Houston, over there too.
Yeah. So I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
For political reasons, whatever. I couldn't do that. So it's like, I'm still gonna push my music to the right market anyway. Like,
no choice.
Internet is the thing, and you connect with people there. And
absolutely, man.
As long as you know, it's getting to the right people, that's blessing.
100%, man.
Yeah.
Yo, you got a line on and on, when you see like I see somebody head explode in Brooklyn or some shit like that.
Yeah,
And I was I was just like, okay, well, like then I found out you lived out there and shit.
For a very brief time when I was like 14, I lived.
Oh, there. Okay.
Yeah, that story is the whole album, like I'm trying to take it. Like
no, you say stages, a lot of there's a lot
stages,
of
stages, yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, we picture kind of
the imagery. I try to give you the imagery of the time that I was there and stuff like that. Like,
so it's all like everything you say is kind of part of your history, part of your life.
Yeah. In this project, line for line. It's to a real thing, a real
is
event.
Is it because you spent time in New York that you're like more of an East Coast rap kind of guy?
I just always went close, like I gravitated to like East Coast rap. Like at the time it was dominating when I first got into rap music.
Yeah.
Biggie, Jay-Z, mm-hmm. Big L,
mm-hmm.
Nas. All the New York rappers were like the dominant rappers. Prodigy, Mobb Deep, all of them. They were the dominant rappers, Big Pun, you know? Yeah. They were the dominant rappers at the time. So it's like the music that I was ingesting, whatever, was all New York rap. And it influenced my life because I'm listening to, I'm consuming that as a kid, like nonstop for like as the most I possibly can.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah.
Okay.
And then when I went out there, I was just like, oh shit, this is the place. Like, that's crazy. Like, you know, I was like 14 over there, like, you know, so.
You got another song on the album that I like, 24 Hours.
Yeah, big track, produced by Vince.
Vince, yeah.
Great song, cool concept, like we kind of, you know, we've heard those a few 24 hours kind of joints, but it's classic. A couple, you know, of them,
yeah.
But we love that shit, right?
Yeah, why not give them that the 24 hour track?
And you see, now that I'm talking to you, I kind of get this line more. There's a line when you say, trying to rap better than Kendrick, J. Cole, or Drake, whoever your top 10 is. Never took a vacay, I'm chasing the next dimensions.
Yeah.
I put in hard work for the city, never accepted.
Yeah.
So you, like, it's...
Yeah,
I feel like if you go out there, people will give you the flowers kind of that you should get. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean? Like, because I don't do interviews and shit.
No, but I feel like you're kind of like, they won't get it out here. Like you.
No, people will get it. It's just like the first thought that I'm getting, like, you know, you get what I'm saying?
I feel like you.
I feel that's like normal for creatives who have put messages or layers and shit.
No,
like,
I get it. I hope someone gets it. But I feel like you minimize the impact of your music. You know what
maybe,
I mean?
Like maybe it, a little bit, yeah, a little bit.
Like you underestimate it in a way. Not yeah. the music, but the impact. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you
I
can't blame like, me for that. Look no. where the city I'm in, it's tough. Like to just be it like, is this tough. Is going to rock.
It's not, 100%. 100%. I'm not saying it like that, but I'm saying like, bro, there's something, but it's interesting. But I love the fact that you approach it like art, no matter
yeah,
what.
Yeah,
you know
no
what
matter
I mean?
What. No matter
and you always, because I heard you say this, you always want to be a better MC, right? Better verses.
Better verses, but like now it's like better beat, better project, better quality, better package, just like better.
You called the project the Kings of Dogtown.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you didn't wrote the King, it's
yeah,
the Kings?
The Kings, yeah.
So why that first?
Because I'm paying homage to all the street legends from my area that I grew up like witnessing. That was the era, like, you know, it was like fucking so many of them, you know what I mean? And they're the kings of this hood, the kings of Dogtown. They're either dead or alive, whatever.
Why'd you look up to them?
Even Mags, I consider him a king, one of the kings of Dogtown, because he was there, like he was a iconic person in the hood. That's a king of Dogtown.
You know, I'll be honest. I love to hear that, man.
That's true. It
is
what it is.
He was putting it down, and
he was
still
holding it down.
Like,
the kids knew about him. I was everyone knew him. I knew who he was. So there's trap kings. There's fashion yeah. kings. Girls that are like the flyest in the hood at the time. So it's just like, you know, the kings of Dogtown. It's like the memories. The yeah.
Who's the other rappers that you know from like that same area from Point St. Charles?
It wasn't much. There was tons of rappers, but no one notable because no one put out any music. They didn't even have a rap name. But you knew that, oh, this nigga Daniel, he can rap. Like, he's going to fuck you. Like, let's hear him. He's crazy, you know? So it's like that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's like,
but at the city at the time, like during these stories and shit, it yeah. was Eye Blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Muggs was there. Was,
yeah, of course, man.
Mags, of course, was rapping.
You remember?
Bad News Brown as well.
Yeah. From LaSalle, hometown.
Oh.
Six Blue.
Boy Blue,
my bad.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's what it
that
is.
That whole era.
Yeah, and Dogtown is like kind of an abbreviation for downtown, like the whole area, like St. Henry, Point St. Charles, a bit of NDG, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
and if you're from that era, that's because it's not like it's the area and during a specific time frame.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, because now you go over there, it's like a gentrified hood.
It's different. It changed.
I talk about gentrification on the project, like the whole thing. Like
shout out to Kevin Calix. He made the Harlem of the North show there. And I know there's a brother, I forget his name, Rito.
Yeah,
that made
Rito.
The tours.
He does like a tour of the neighborhoods out there, like in St. Henry, Little Burgundy, all that area.
And
he does like a historical tour because there's like a lot of legendary, historic black figures from the city that came
yeah.
from there.
And musically, like I learned about,
guys, yeah.
I learned about the black people coming through the U.S. After the South, the slaves were released. They came by train to Montreal,
yeah.
and that's what made the jazz heritage that
yeah.
Montreal has.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Peterson, I just don't want to misspell the names.
Oscar
Peterson. So I learned a lot through the Montreal black culture.
Yeah.
Through that, and knowing you through your rap and your experience, you're like you're from a deep black.
It's deep rooted. That
it's
deep rooted.
It's a culturally rich part
exactly.
of town, and yeah.
So you've been
a lot of history,
a lot of exactly. So yeah.
Did you see that event that KK put together last summer? When Ghostface came through, he did a concert outside of the park and stuff.
Borden was performing, and
yeah,
I wanted
Borden
to go check it
perform.
Out. I didn't get a chance to pass, but stuff like that is crazy to see, bro.
Yeah, man, that's fire.
I wish they had got an artist from there to perform too. I was like, just who? Nate and fucking.
Oh, from the neighborhood, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a work in progress. Bro.
Yeah.
It's a
constant.
I mean, Ghostface was there, you know, and he had a bunch
of local
artists, so it's cool. But it's cool to see those initiatives, man, in the city, man.
Yeah.
But it's true that that area is deep-rooted, and there's a lot of history, and music history, too, that even me, I don't know much about that I should,
tap in, bro.
What you think about the media game in Montreal? Like,
it's weak, right?
Do you pay attention to it?
Well, I try to, and then it's just like, I'm not going to look at this shit.
Why?
Well, some of it's like fucking shit, bro. It's trash. Like, what do you mean? The media game is very weak here, right? We have one dude at the press writing stuff for us for hip hop. We have DMS.
Yeah.
Shout out to DMS. He's doing his
thing.
Montreality. True.
I always forget about them because like they're yeah, Montreality is fire. Yeah. I just wish he would do some more stuff with like
in town.
Yeah, that's all.
Like, yeah.
And you guys are fire. Who else we got out here? We have a little radio station in Concordia.
Yeah.
That runs shit from time to time.
Yeah, yeah, but that's no, it's true. Like it's not the
but
biggest.
But there's a lot of IG pages. Like I don't want to put them in lower just by saying IG pages. But like MTL latest, the remastered is
yeah,
a new like, one.
Yeah, there's stuff that is sure slipping my mind. Month.
Pages. Pages. So
extend.
Now there's a new one. It's called a Rockback. It's the Rolling Stones. Now they have a franchise in Quebec.
Okay, so, Quebec Rolling Stone. Man.
Quebec, shout out to Billy. He wrote for
okay,
I didn't even know that.
From the Ragers.
Oh, Billy writes?
Yeah, yeah. Yo,
Billy, you know, bro, Billy, I need a fucking article, bro.
Bow, you see? Nah.
There you go. Another Oz MTL alley-oop right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, of course.
Live
Billy
in
from,
front of you.
Who was with Vice, I think. But Billy from the
I know Billy F the Chef, right? That's his
yeah, man.
That's my dude, bro. Like we go way back. We did shows together and everything.
Well, let's go, man.
You tell him to let's go, Billy.
Yo, you know up, Billy.
Hey,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
Let him know, man. Billy's watching, bro. Let him know right
let's
now.
Let's go, Billy.
So I know that even Charlotte Pascal Leblanc on La Presse that writes
what?
There's a bunch of journalists. But it's
not a bunch.
There's not a bunch. There's not a bunch.
There's a few.
There's like three.
Because there's no radio station.
That's what I'm saying. The infrastructure's a little weak. Nothing wrong with being weak. What's wrong with it? We can build from there. Like it's only up from there, right?
Yeah, but they've been saying only up from here for the last 25 years, bro. Come on, man. Like but
you gotta stay on it, man.
And what's frustrating is that we see like me when I started working with Onze MTL, right? In the beginning, I was like, yo, you know what? You don't cover the English scene. Let me start interviewing the English scene and seeing, you know, how it is. And it was that's a work in progress. Sometimes it's a little bit more complicated than others. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to those who did it. Shout out to Naya Ali. Shout out to Spank Squire. 100%. We had
Trey Lamont. Big love,
Spank
Squire.
Planet Giza.
We had Planet Giza. But
Keitra. Lou Phelps.
Yes.
Fucking.
But what I mean is that through doing that and like eventually became the podcast and whatever, is I saw the spike in interest in like the French scene and the English scene. I'm like, yo, bro, like people should pay attention as much, you know, and we try, but it's a challenge, man. It is
a challenge
in the city, man.
Because also like, who's our competition? The entire industry.
Yeah.
And we got to step
our
game up. That's
what people will say.
Yeah.
That's what people will say. They'll be like, okay, I could listen to an English guy from here, but I can listen to an American.
Who's doing it way better? Their beats are better. Everything's better. The quality, the master, the mix, the lyrics, the content, the life they live so they can give you that content. It's all better. So it's like, why are you going to listen to a guy from here?
But
no, but that's why
we were talking about Mags earlier, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Mags can go up against anybody.
Me too.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, but I'm just saying the thought that the process to like shy away from listening to these English artists.
And like we have like... See Shab, what he's doing. Like we mentioned Craven. Like big people are paying attention to these guys.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it's like.
But sometimes maybe it's just need a little more sparking.
Well, this is the thing. Like, you know, these.
Let's say, sorry to cut you off.
No,
but
go
like,
ahead, go ahead.
Last week, there's King K.
Yo, for the record, I love English owns, man. The evolution in English is crazy, man.
Yeah,
thank
you, bro.
We need that representative too. The English speaking French.
Well,
boy,
people
like
that
him,
have been
like
following
him.
Us. People that have been following us have seen him speak English a little bit here and there through the years, and they see it like me. It's crazy.
Yeah,
okay, go ahead.
It's a Chris episode. He's speaking full English.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Know, bro.
That's it.
There's King KLV, a rapper from Montreal.
Yeah.
And he was doing an interview, I seen, and he said he was the best English-speaking rapper in Montreal. And shout out to him, man.
Is that what he said? He said,
he's the best?
He said, yeah.
I saw him when he was saying, I'm charging for features or from now on, it's like people got to pay, but yeah.
So I've seen that and I'm like, yo, that's a big take and shout out, man. But there's a lot of names that came to my head and I thought of you,
of course.
Thought of Mags and shit. And I said, it's cool though to have this little competition coming in.
You gotta have that attitude, bro. You have to as an MC.
You gotta be like, I'm the best. Yeah, he has to have that.
So and King KLV's putting in the work, man. He's putting in the work.
He did his thing. So I think is it just that needs more in the English scene, like more competition.
Spark. That's what you meant, the spark.
I feel like
that's true. That's a point. Yeah. Because you see in the French scene, there's a lot of fucking stories, gossip, this, a lot of music, videos, but like, it's true that in the English scene, it's very, that's why when we see a Big Dogs Only movement and we're like, oh shit, Mags, Borden, Justice, they're all in the same crew, shit, they're doing a show, all of them together. Like, it creates a hype, an excitement. And it's true that besides that, everybody's kind of doing their own thing in their corners. And it's like,
it's true.
I feel like the you see, like, even when we're talking about the era of Mags and Muggs and Millie Mills and all these guys, that was like the new money era. And I remember there was a show and everybody was there, Eye Blast, and it was crazy, bro. And it's like, there was like traction behind it. And I feel now the English scene is very split. Yeah. Like, you see Planet Giza, they're killing it.
Murder.
They're killing it. They're on some other shit, right? Yeah. But like, they're there. Then there's Chris the Spirit, Nate Husser, Mags, and Big Dogs Only, and everybody's kind of.
I like that a little bit.
I feel it would be. You like it?
I like that, because it's like we're not just here entertaining our own little circus. We're like doing this.
Everybody has to build their brand and branch off. 100%.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
But it would be cool to see. I don't know.
Everyone,
imagine a posse cut with like 10 dope ass English rappers. I feel like that comes out. A video comes out. The city's talking if the guys are spitting for real,
spitting
right?
Spitting for real, yeah.
So, like, imagine a fucking... shout out DJ Org. Yo, DJ Org, make it happen. He does a lot of fucking... someone has to make it happen. But there's a DJ that does these things, right? He does, like, cyphers with, like, 15 artists, 10 artists, whatever. And I feel like that would be dope.
I think we should do that. Let's do that on a professional level, clean and
yeah,
proper.
Yeah, 100%. It's got to be done properly. But I feel like... Anyways, I just threw that idea out like that, but it's based on what he said, you know? Like, there needs a spark. There isn't.
There's nothing there right now.
There should be more excitement. It's true. Yeah. On that side, I get it.
Well, on the artist side, it's tough because, like, the audience is not here. Why should I even try? And then there's the industry that is behind me, this titan of an industry. I should direct my energy towards this and navigating relationships, trying to, instead of entertaining my peoples, because they're not showing me love anyway. So
why waste time?
I already
time?
Did all the shows here. So like, why am I going to continue to waste my time when there's a bag over here. There's actual money over here that I could take for my talent.
Yeah, at a certain type point, thing. At a certain point, you got to make those decisions.
Oh, sorry, bro. Sorry.
At a certain point, you do got to make those decisions, man.
Yeah,
if you
got to
eat from what you do.
Exactly, bro. You got to... You know,
do you have any shows lined up for 2025 for like to promote the album
Kings.
And stuff
well,
like
I,
that?
Well, I did a small tour with Dylan for Dylan Ponders.
Okay.
I did a small show.
He's
a small
from Toronto,
tour.
Right?
He's from Toronto. Like he has a Guinness World Record for like the most tracks dropped.
98 weeks or something
some
like
that? Some shit like that. Every day, some shit. There's a track. Like he probably has a new track coming out right now. You know? So shit like that. I did a small tour with him.
Where'd you guys, which cities did you guys go?
Just Toronto and Ontario, like just like small shows here and there.
Okay.
Montreal, we did one here. And I feel like the show is not really in order to like just be like accepting show dates. And I'm not really eager to like be jumping on shows like too heavy. You know what I'm saying? And there is stuff in the works, of course. There's something in Europe like more in the works, international shows. And
okay.
Getting on stage with like bigger acts for like, you know, to actually do something.
Yeah, dope.
Because what's the point to jump on stage here tomorrow? It's good to be good for us. Good for us, but like
no, 100%. But there is something in the
an
works
incentive
coming up.
To go and do it over there and
okay, that's
you know,
dope.
Stuff like that. You know?
Where's your biggest like where's the your largest fan base from?
United States, like for sure. Like when I check if I look on Spotify, it's all like United States. Or
like which cities are the big
Denver?
Ones?
Depends on what song it is. Like
really?
It might be Finland is the top one for a specific track, and then Chicago, like I think Chicago really fucks with Undefeated. There's a lot of streams in the US like constantly. Like yeah,
and do you
Canada will be like you know, Eva Shaw will be Toronto's like the number one city for the Eva Shaw stuff, and then type thing, you know.
And do you use that to kind of like, let's say if you see this city's a big city for me, like do you try to like kind of connect with it, or like even people from there holler at you kind of thing?
Sort of. I don't really do the targeted marketing, you know, and it's like for me, like I should be on that. It's like if I have something for the target marketing, I'm going to push it over there. But like I'm telling you, bro, my mind always goes to like better product. Let me do a better album. Let me do a better beat. Let me have a better mix. So that's why it slips my mind to be like, oh, people in Finland are fucking with this. Let me go and start do like a little clip for this and then put it out there and then network, like pay for the marketing to be in that hood or whatever. Finland.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know, so yeah, it just slips my mind. It's like, fuck. Yeah.
Who called you the spirit for the first time?
A long time. Just a long time. I can't even trace it back. Probably one of my cousins. You know, that spirit over there, he's just like quiet in the back. But he'll fuck you up though. Just leave him over there, like type thing, you know? Yeah.
You're always
a long time ago, bro.
Like, were you always kind of like the quiet?
Always, for sure. Like, yeah.
Even your voice, like you have a distinct voice. Like exactly. You seem like the guy that, it's not like you're talking, but you seem like almost whispering.
Yeah, I have a lower tone, but like it wasn't even that. It was just like, yeah. And then many reasons evolved, like it's just the irony of life. Like art imitates life and vice versa, like, you know, so the name is the name, bro. Like I just wanted people to know me as Chris. I'm Chris, so you guys know I'm Chris. But then it's like, let me just add a little spice to the head, you know. But
you gotta add that, man.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Huh. Looking forward to seeing what's coming up next, man.
Yeah, me too, bro. We'll see. If anything. I hope something, bro. I hope something.
The approach is very unique, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, like, usually we'll have guys like, yeah, man, 2025. Yo, I'm taking over for 2025, man. I'm going this.
Sick of that shit, though?
Like, I am in a way.
I'm sick of it. Shut your fucking mouth. Go in your studio. Fix your pen. Fix your bars. Fix your mix. Fix your beat. Fix your artwork. Fix your video. I don't want to hear you're coming for 25 or whatever the fuck you're coming for. Drop quality work. And that's all we want to see. Like, as a fan. Yeah.
And let the work speak for itself.
That's it.
I respect it, man.
Yeah, bro.
Yo, dope Avirex jacket, man.
Oh, thanks, bro. My boy hooked me up, man. Yeah, Avirex.
I mean?
It's coming back.
This ain't no ad, but it's a shout-out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, shout-out. Shout-out Factory 87, man. It's my boy.
It's coming back, but I feel like even the hip-hop, the rap scene, like everything's coming back to the roots.
Yeah.
So for somebody that's been making it for so long, even the youths now, when they're trying to learn about the scene, about what's been done, your name will come across because the poster has done what they had done.
Mm-hmm.
So by staying active right now, it's really important. I really think you have your things to say, and the city, we're going through a renaissance.
Right now. Yeah. Every so often we go through a renaissance.
100%, man. And not a lot of people have, see, like when we say...
Oh, shit.
Oh, la Renaissance. But not a lot of people have actually the pedigree, the background to pop their collar, like we're saying.
Yeah.
Like, you did stuff that not a lot of people have done. And not a lot of people even know about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like it's important to, although I know you're all about your art, you're all about your music, but I feel like these conversations that we have can put more people's eyes and ears to what you do.
That's the only reason why I came.
And make your name pop up in more conversations. Yeah. Like when we're having our convos in our rap talks or whatever podcast, it's like, yo, there's Chris. Check out his freestyle. Check out when he passed by. Yo, we mentioned this with Chris. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like...
Yeah.
Yo, sorry to cut you off. Go ahead. And the thing that I appreciate the most about all this, to be honest with you, bro, it's because I tried sometimes to holler to some artists from the Southwest, and it's always been like cold. You know, no problem. But seeing that you arrived and wrote to me, and now you say you're like the spirit, the guy keeping low, and you
actually took the time to do it.
And you actually took the time for me. It was, yo, okay, nice. So because I think the city has a learned to
a lot to learn.
A lot to learn
with by marketing, the marketing, networking. Yeah, for yeah. Sure,
it's
for
not
sure.
Normal that you're not making a track with a guy like Obia Le Chef.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
You don't know who Obia Le Chef is.
I think I know him, right? He's he spits like a little bit Griselda-ish type. Like,
yeah.
He kind of sounds like West Side a little bit, right? Is that
no,
him?
No, that you're that's talking about Saint-Sucré.
Well, there's like three of them right now. But there's one from Montreal. There's a guy, he resembles a little bit.
Yeah, you're talking West about Saint-Sucré.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. That's him from... Yeah, that's him, that's him, that's
that's
him.
A white dude from...
I like his sound, bro. I like,
yeah,
I
yeah. Big shout out Saint-Sucré. That's nice that you shouted...
But yes, but there's what he's saying is true, and there's a lot. Like, we had a Obia Le Chef, which is a dope lyricist in French, like top tier lyricist, and it's like it would only make sense, bro. Why not?
I gotta check
you guys
it out.
Still, you guys do the same type of music kind of thing, but like just different languages. Do
me,
one,
me and Obia Le Chef.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, I think I'll do so. You, Obia Le Chef, on a track produced by 11MTL. We do something on 11MTL.
Run it up. Let's do I'm it. Down 100%.
Two artists from the city, and we make something.
That's interesting.
I'm down. That's what excites me now. Like, yeah. I just want
to
like,
shit like that would be fire to make it. Hey, man, here, you know, we got a model here. We throw it in the atmosphere, man. Yeah. Then we see what happens,
see what
right?
Happens, bro. Yeah.
So hopefully we can make that happen, yeah. Man.
And I think it's something that's good for the city. Like, we have a palette of colors.
Big time.
Of, yeah. Sounds
crazy,
artists,
bro.
Producers.
It's crazy how it's diversified.
Yeah. So yo, the more bro. We mix this shit together,
exactly.
Like Steve Stout did the shading,
the tanning of America,
the tanning of America.
Hmm.
When he, so when,
let's put it together, bro. Hey, that's what we need. We have the talent, we have the artists, we have the...
Everything, man. And the producer scene here is crazy. We got
producer
crazy
scenes
producers.
Off the charts.
We got so many things that to our advantage, but I feel like we should all kind of mix it up even more, man. But hey, you know what I mean? It starts like this. It starts with these conversations, you know what I mean?
That's right.
It's a
that's
pleasure
right.
to meet
that's
you,
right.
my G.
For yeah, sure, bro.
Thank you for coming through, man.
For sure, bro.
Hey, if you got any shout-outs or anything you want to say to the people before we get out of here, because we're about to go to Patreon. You know, Patreon going to have some other quick questions. You know, I don't know if there's a freestyle or something he wants to do. We never
for sure.
know.
For sure.
But if you want to give shout-outs before we go to Patreon, let them know what time it is. Let them know where they can follow you or whatever it is.
Shout-out God.
Mm.
Trust God, amen. Bitch.
Amen.
Yeah, fuck that.
That's what it is, man. You know where we're at, man. We're at the Hidden Showroom. Everything you see is for sale. Big shout out Smoke Signals, man. They got me floating like an angel.
Ooh,
shout out the one and only Chris the Spirit. Go follow him everywhere. Go stream the music. You already know how it's going down, man. It's your boy J7.
So it's boy 11.
On s'en va au Patreon. Let's go. Pow.